The following program does not necessarily reflect the opinions and viewpoints of the staff and management of this station.
Good morning. This is Carol Gordon of HeartMenders International, broadcasting from News Radio 1000 KTOK. My husband Lewis and I founded HeartMenders International, where hearts and lives are changed. We are a generational ministry called to proclaim the message of the healing of hearts, marriages, and families. The crying challenge to keep families whole and healthy is so great today that it calls for a strong, proactive, biblical approach to life. Our Heavenly Father designed marriage and family before the fall, and He knows how to build healthy family relationships now. We have available help from heaven. Lewis and I were married for 46 years. We had almost 22 years in our honeymoon of healing before he moved to heaven in 2002. The Lord continually urged our growth and refining by His Word. We encountered many of the same issues your family may be going through in the unfolding life of our family. We have had marriages that ended in divorce, financial pressures, prison terms, health problems, misunderstandings, reconciliations, and many other challenges. The Lord faithfully brought us through them. We learned to lean on Him, and He has healed, strengthened, and is maturing us. Early on, He told us to give to others what He taught us. In 19 years of ministry together, Lewis and I saw hundreds of families, thousands of individuals, move up to a new level by the work of the Lord. With others in my family, we are now in our 18th year of weekly meetings on Tuesday evenings at 7 at Faith Fellowship Church, 900 North May Avenue, Oklahoma City, where we share and pray for needs. Don't struggle alone. You can call in for prayer at our office Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4, at 405-495-HOPE. That's 495-4673. Again, I'm Carol Gordon, and I am so privileged to have as my guest today Dr. Paul Hegstrom of Aurora, Colorado. He has Life Skills International, and they do wonderful work in helping people deal with issues of life. I first learned of Dr. Hegstrom back in the late 80s. Somebody gave me copies of tapes of his testimony, and I was so thrilled with that because we were relatively young in ministry at that time, and I am always so excited to find people who've taken it to another level that we hadn't thought about. One of the intriguing things was that Dr. Hegstrom had been able to restore his family after some very difficult years and a broken marriage, I believe. And I'm going to let him fill you in on what's happened since then. Dr. Hegstrom, so happy to have you with me today.
Carol, it's great to be with you, too. Thank you.
So tell us what how you came to the place where you are now so fitted to help other people.
Well, it all started when I was a kid, and I didn't tie together the wounds of my childhood to the behaviors of my teens and my adult life. I was sexually abused at 3 and a half by a pastor's daughter, and she was about 9 to 11, somewhere in there. I was raped violently by an older man when I was 8, and then was molested by a student teacher in junior high school for 13 months.
Mm.
And I had no idea why I was in such a rage, but as I got into my middle teens, the rage was just unbelievable.
I can imagine.
Became abusive to everybody, hated all authority. And my parents were pastors in a mainline denomination, and I would be standing there next to my parents, and people would say to my folks, "You are such godly people. Are you sure you got the right child in the hospital when you came home?"
Mm.
And so I went to college, flunked out, ran away from home, and went to California and disappeared for 6-7 months. My parents didn't know where I was, and finally came back home and decided I wanted to get married and have a home of my own. So I fell in love, if in a sick way, with Judy, who was 16 at the time, and we married when she was 16. We met each other earlier, but we married when she was 16, and I had just turned 19. And on the second day of the marriage, I went off on her physically, and we lived that way for 16 and a half years. Mm. My mother told me if you would do your, you know, fulfill your call and go into ministry, well, your life would be different. So I did, and took a church in the same denomination in which I was raised, and thought if I put myself under the pressure of a congregation and a district superintendent and joined the local ministerial alliance, why I would be under the pressure and wouldn't act out and scream and yell and batter and hit and do those things. And it lasted for about 6 weeks, and then I pastored the church for 3.5 years, getting saved every Saturday night so I could preach on Sunday morning, and it just was a zoo. And so I finally came to the point, and I share this because a lot of people have told me when you share this, it gives us hope. I tried to live for Christ. I tried to be the good guy. I tried to be a good pastor. And in my preaching, I would preach truth because I was afraid God would strike me dead in the pulpit, so I was preaching to me a lot of the times. But that really got old. But I couldn't live what my father had preached in the years I was at home. So I came to the conclusion, believing Satan's lie, that I was predestined to be lost. And so I left the ministry and left the marriage and moved up into Minneapolis and got involved in rock and roll radio and that type of thing. It would hide my lifestyle, and got into drugs, alcohol, and really had the idea in my mind that when you're dead, you're gone for a long time, so I'm going to party hardy till I die. And ended up in a live-in relationship, and I battered the woman so badly I was facing 15 to 22 in the state penitentiary, and that got my attention. So I opted to go into a therapy group for domestic violence, and that didn't work. And I really felt hopeless, and so one night I threw myself out of bed and really gave my life to Christ. And that's been 26 years ago. And that night, I yielded everything to Christ, and he came into my life and turned it around. Because of my sexual abuse, I realized that something was wrong developmental with me. And when I would try to get saved, I'd not give Christ everything. I kept sex and money. I had to control that, just a penchant to control those two issues. But when I was facing 15 to 22, there was no money to be made in the prison and no sex in there I was interested in. So it was my Waterloo, and I really gave it all to the Lord. And boy, did he make a change in my life.
Oh, he can.
And so God brought Judy and I back together, not to date, but just I hadn't paid child support for years, and we by this time were divorced. So Jeff, my son, was picking up my traits of being abusive to his sister and his girlfriends, and so Judy called me and said, "Can we talk? Jeff's becoming like you." And so we started talking, and we talked for about 10 months, and one night I said, "Judy, have you ever considered that we go back together again and restore the marriage?" And she looked at me and said, "The thought of going back to you makes my blood run cold." In the early years when we were together or married, if she said something like that, you know, I'd have just smacked her and screamed and yelled and cursed.
Mm-hmm.
And my response was, I could understand that with all that I've done to you, because God was really working on my life, and I was actually developing the curriculum that we use at Life Skills now called Learning to Live, Learning to Love, when I was in the classes for domestic violence in Minneapolis, because it was way back in the late 70s. Early 80s, and the domestic violence movement basically started about 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't much out there for men. And the first shelter for women had been set up in Champaign, Illinois, Urbana area, modeled after one in England. And so it was a fresh movement, and so they didn't have anything to help men. We just sat around and puked all over each other and screamed and yelled and raged and blamed the victim. And so God got a hold of my life and started teaching me his ways, and that's how the program developed. And after 7 years of separation and divorce, Judy and I remarried and put the marriage back together again.
Oh, that's such a glorious testimony.
This December 1st, we'll celebrate 24 years the second time around, and it would have been 47 had we stayed together. So,
praise the Lord.
I never thought I'd live this long. Collecting Social Security for a year. Time to retire, and I don't even want to.
Yeah. So,
but our kids all came home, and we had a great Christmas that year we got married. And our kids saw that Dad had really changed, and they were 20, 23, and 24, been to college. And they called, and each wanted to come home, so we brought all three children home, and I got to reparent my kids.
Oh, praise God.
And today, all the kids and their spouses and five of six of my grandchildren are serving the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And God's going to get the other one. We know that.
Amen.
And so,
that is so wonderful. That gives people such hope, because there's so much destruction in our culture.
There really is.
And that's one of the things that HeartMender's called to do, is to speak to the culture about these issues. And because, as you know, back in those early days, the things that happened to you were not ever talked about.
No, and those especially in the church world.
Right, and those have come to the surface now. And there's still a lot of people out there that need healing and are not trusting because they were wounded by people that should have cared for them.
That's true.
And so much of that. We just have a heart. We have ministered in classes and individually. We hope at some point to have a facility for the most deeply wounded, those that have been in the position that you were, where you were just driven. And also, there are other issues, the post-traumatic stress syndrome,
yes,
and us, all those kinds of deep issues that we believe that it's only the touch of the Lord that
it
can
is,
reach
and,
deep
and
enough.
What's interesting is we started out working just with domestic violence with victims and perpetrators. And then back in early 90, we changed the name from Domestic Violence Project Learning Centers to Life Skills International. And what we found out is every man who batters has been wounded in childhood some way, most of them 70% sexually.
Yes.
And so what happens is
we're going
they get
need to go
up,
to a commercial break now, Paul.
Okay.
I forgot to warn you. We're going to a commercial break. This is Carol Gordon, and I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to HeartMenders International on News Radio 1000 KTOK on your dial. Welcome back to HeartMenders International, coming to you on 1000 KTOK, your news radio station. I'm Carol Gordon, and my guest today is Dr. Paul Hegstrom of Life Skills International in Aurora, Colorado. Dr. Hegstrom, you shared with us your time where you were so wounded and how you came to a place of healing, and I'm interested to know what you feel is the number one crisis that we face in our society today in the breakdown of families.
Well, from our research, and I travel all over the country and speak in major churches and do workshops for, like the state of Nevada, we were the keynote speaker for domestic violence, that type of thing. What I'm seeing across the nation, the biggest problem out there is the developmental issues of our nation totally. It seems that, and for those that don't know a lot about mental health, that when we're wounded in childhood under the age of 11 by rejection, incest, molestation, emotional abuse, or physical abuse, any one of those, let alone a cluster of those, will freeze the development. It's called fixation in mental health. And the core character is really frozen. We call it arrested development. And then we develop a pseudo-personality to keep from being rejected, but the pseudo is called Jekyll Hyde in domestic violence, but the scripture calls it the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways in James 1 and James 4. And what happens then is we develop a pseudo-personality that we try to tailor to each person we meet so that they will not reject us. If you and I were to meet for the first time and I was wounded, I would not want you to know that something was wrong with me, so that I would be trying to figure out what are you expecting from me so that you won't reject me. But we're never really transparent, and we're never really true. We wear this mask. And behind closed doors in the family unit, the developmental structure is wounded so low that early in childhood that couples are not able to resolve conflict. They see each other as combatants, competitors. They don't know how to bond emotionally. They don't, you know, for a man, he looks at a wife as a sex object to take care of the house, raise the kids, and both are very selfish. And so they fight a lot. There's no commitment. There's no maturity. And we go from marriage to marriage. Even in the body of Christ, we're seeing the marriage or the divorce rate is 53% when it's 50% in the secular world. And so it's what I'm seeing is not just one thing. I'm seeing that if a couple come together and they've never matured and they've been wounded in childhood and don't understand what they're dealing with, they don't stand a chance, really, in a marriage. And it's getting worse with each generation.
Yes, that is so accurate a description. Some friends of mine and I are doing some talking, and my friends are further along in this than I am, but we are seeing a way to reach that deep level of wounding. And many years ago, you may be familiar with the work of John and Paula Sanford,
yes.
their book on the wounded spirit. Well,
yes.
When I read that, I just made this little mental thing. Well, they're really talking about the soul, because we talked about the wounded soul a lot, that we ministered to it by the Holy Spirit. But I've seen since then and reread their book. They knew exactly what they were talking about, of course.
Yes.
And I'm the one that didn't. But because there is a wounding to our essential being.
Yes.
Which would be our human spirit. And a lot of people talk like your human spirit's inert until you get born again, but it isn't.
No.
And it's where those wounds collect, but that we are finding a remedy for that and a healing process by blessing their spirit.
Yeah, and making sense of the craziness. It goes back to
right.
Matthew 18, when Jesus told the disciples, "Woe be unto he who would wound a child. Better a millstone be tied around their neck and they be cast in the deepest part of the sea."
Exactly.
And Jesus knew that the potential of a child and the purity of a child is so wonderful, and Satan tries to wound that child.
Oh, from the get-go.
The child before puberty is lacking three chemicals in the brain. And so the child, when it's wounded, does not have the chemical structure nor the mechanisms in the brain to see this as the sin of the perpetrator against me. The child without the chemicals sees it as, what did I do to cause that person to do this to me? I am unworthy. And that's where the developmental issues lock up, because it activates the limbic system. We've been working in neuroscience with some of the greats in the nation, Baylor University, Texas A&M, Dr. Amen, and some of the big names in neuroscience. And God got me out of the box, and I started looking at this. And what we found out in the arrested development or fixation is that the limbic system is the thalamus, is where the hard drive lies, and the amygdala and hippocampus in that thalamus area activates and causes adrenaline to surge through this child, and the adrenaline surging through the child like an intravenous drip for the rest of its life pushes back the chemicals that bring maturity.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And so what we've done is we've gotten into the Word of God and found how to get the adrenaline down so the brain will start rewiring again.
Wow.
And that's a therapy that has never been found in the history of mental health. And all of my mentors have told me that you found four missing links in family systems therapy that we've been looking for since Freud. So, give you an example, we just had a conference last night, a national conference, and one of my speakers I brought in was the head of the Life Skills Center in Texas, Bryan College Station, Texas A&M territory, and he's been dealing with court-ordered men arrested on domestic violence, and we have nine judges that are ordering the men arrested through the Life Skills program, and in 4.5 years we have serviced 550 men arrested for violence, including sociopaths, borderlines, the worst cases, and the recidivism rate is zero. We've not had one reoffend.
And
I flew down and spent time with the judges, and they said we have looked for reoffenders just to prove the program isn't that good, and they said it is that good, but we're able to restart the brain growth and actually develop new neurons around the damage, around the woundedness, and they're becoming whole. So we're being studied by major universities around the nation that are doing empirical studies to prove that this program is what we say it is.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
I think that is just absolutely wonderful.
It's in the Word.
Yes, but I have a question. Now, my husband had diabetes and passed away from complications of that. But in reading about that, some of the things you mentioned, like the thalamus,
yes,
those things were mentioned as having to do with that physical disease. Do you think that the tremendous explosion of diabetes could be connected to that also?
It can be, and what we're looking at is diabetes is the chemical structure of the brain. And the chemical structure of the body will follow. If the chemical structure of the brain is not balanced, then the chemical structure of the body will follow through with that.
I believe that because we've seen people get healed physically when we got some of their emotional and soul and spiritual issues
dealt with. Absolutely. And the scripture talks about that.
Oh, yes.
And see, when I was talking, I had an audience with Dr. Amen, and he wrote the book Change Your Brain, Change Your Life.
Yeah.
And is very well known in neuroscience circles. And we were talking about that, and I was explaining some things that I had found, and I'm out of the box because I didn't come up through mental health. And so I went to the Word. And so I was telling him some of the research, and he said, it can't be. And I said, yeah, it is, and it's in the Scripture. And he went over and opened his drawer and got out the manuscript for his new book that hasn't even been published yet. And he had 40,000 case studies in the last 15 years that documented what I had told him out of the Word, and he was dumbfounded.
Praise the Lord. Well, we've got about 30 seconds before we have to close for today, but we will be on again next week for those of you who are intrigued with what Dr. Hegstrom has had to say. I certainly am, and so thrilled to find out how the Lord is showing this to people, because all of that comes from Him. Well, I thank you, Dr. Hegstrom, for being with me this morning, and to all our listeners on News Radio 1000 KTOK. This is Carol Gordon, and I know that this program is expanding your vision of the possibilities of healing in your life and in your relationships. You can have all the promises of help from heaven that you will pursue. HeartMenders International has a free meeting every Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock at Faith Fellowship Church, 900 North May Avenue in Oklahoma City. We have products and prayer support available at the meeting or by phone at 405-495-HOPE. You may also visit our website at www.heartmenders.org. Thank you again for joining us, and we will see you next week. A blessing on you and your week from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.